You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
So today I'm going to share with you one of my greatest treasures. 16 years ago, just before my mom passed away, she wrote me a note. And she was able to write me a note. She wrote my sister Cindy half a note, but unfortunately she passed before she could write Mary or Steve a note. But I want to share this with you today on Mother's Day. I bring it out each year on this day. I'm going to share it with you. Our firstborn, you were a lot of work. My mom was in labor 49 and a half hours to give me birth. It was the only time in my life I was not in a hurry. All right? But how worthy you were of every minute. We were so proud of our bright, handsome son. Your tummy was a problem, but when you smiled, there was a rainbow. The doctor said you would make us very proud, and he was so right. Not just for brain power, but morally, a parent couldn't ask for more. That little body of yours was something else, too. From the time you walked, you ran. You wanted to be the best in everything. After the other children joined us, you liked playing priest. The kids would have to crawl to the stairs where you would dispense the holy Ritz crackers and unrolling toilet paper and dragging it downstairs was good fun too. Outside had lots of interest too. The Churchill Street gang could cause trouble for car traffic. A bike blockade can be intimidating. Your school years improved as the years went by, and we were unbelievably proud when you graduated from Northwestern. What a wonderful person you had made of yourself. We love you. I will be with you always. You better behave. Seriously, I will never leave you, and my love with you will always grow stronger, Mom. So that is that's a treasure. And just as I treasure my mom's voice that I hear there, all right, I treasure the Lord's voice, and when I have an opportunity to hear that voice. And today, I'm going to speak to you about hearing God's voice through solitude and stillness and positioning ourselves to hear from God. And this is one of the first things Pastor Jeremy spoke about last week, positioning ourselves to hear from God. And we do that by moving into a place of solitude and stillness. Now, it's interesting. Here we are in New York. And I can tell you right now that the Holy Spirit is already speaking to many of our hearts saying, wow, I could use some of that. So I think we're going to have a really good morning together. So in my travels, I have visited two places that have what's called a whispering spot. The first of these was in London, England, at St. Paul's Cathedral. And this is a very large cathedral, a beautiful cathedral. And if you climb all the way up to the base of the dome, and for those of us with a little fear of heights, it's like a little bit trepidation there, but you get up there, and if you stand on one side of the dome, and I had Bob Romeo, our CFO, standing on the other side, if you whisper or just speak on this side, your voice will travel around that dome all the way to the other side, and a person can hear it just as if you were standing right next to them. And here in New York, we have something similar, just on a smaller scale. In Grand Central Station, we have what's called the Whispering Arch. And if you've ever gone to the Oyster Barn restaurant, or you had a train that left on the lower level, you might walk through this Whispering Arch area, and you're wondering, why are people standing facing into the corner? And what they're doing is actually they're speaking, whispering, and they have a friend standing on the other side that's listening, and that whisper just travels to the other side. It's an amazing thing. And just as there are physical whispering spots, there are also spiritual whispering spots. And today, I would like to help us find the place where God's voice echoes loudest and longest for us. So when I look at the Bible, I see many whispering spots. The Lord spoke to Jacob at Bethel. He spoke to Moses with a burning bush. All right. He spoke to Mordecai at the king's gate in the citadel of Susa. He spoke to Daniel in Babylon in a second floor open window facing Jerusalem. And he spoke to Jonah in the belly of a whale. Okay, that's my least favorite place. I wouldn't want to do that. All right. But one of my favorites is when the Lord spoke with Elijah. And let me just set this up. So when Elijah was a prophet, it was not a good time in Israel. Ahab was the king, Jezebel was the queen, and they were worshiping other gods at this time. As a matter of fact, Jezebel had 450 prophets that worshiped this other god, Baal, false god, Baal. And so the Lord had had enough of that. And so it was time for a contest. It was Elijah against the 450 prophets of Baal. It was actually Almighty God versus Baal. All right, and all the people of Israel came together because they were confused. They were worshiping Baal, and they were confused. Who's God? All right, and Almighty God just demonstrated an awesome power at that moment. And the people turned and said, "The Lord is God." And they put to death all 450 of the prophets of Baal. Now, that word got back to Jezebel, and she wasn't too pleased about that. And so she decided that she was going to try to have Elijah killed. Now, you would think Elijah has just seen the mighty power of God. So you would think that Elijah would just stand there and say, "Listen, I'm not afraid of anybody. I've got God on my side." But that's not quite what happened. What happened is Elijah ran. And Elijah ran and hid in a cave on Mount Horeb. And this actually is Elijah's cave where he went to. Now, as you can see, it's a fairly remote place. And nobody is going to find him there. Well, nobody except the Lord. And that's where our scripture comes in here. In 1 Kings, all of my scriptures today are, by the way, are from the NIV. And 1 Kings is in the Old Testament in chapter 19, verses 9 through 13. All right? And there he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, by the way, I love it when the Lord says, "What are you doing here?" All right? "I'm with you. You don't need to be afraid," right? All right. But here's Elijah's response. "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." All right, so have you ever had a pity party with the Lord? Well, that's a little bit where Elijah is here right now. "So the Lord said, 'Go out and stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" And it's interesting, the Lord gives three demonstrations of his power to Elijah. And we don't, by the way, see recorded in Scripture any other time that he's afraid of Jezebel or Ahab, anybody else after this time. He knows that the Lord is with him. But when the Lord speaks to him, he speaks in a whisper. And the Lord sometimes speaks to us in a whisper, or in the King James Version, in a still, small voice. And a still, small voice can take many forms. Sometimes we receive a glaring sign that God is speaking with us, and we can't miss that. But the still, small voice might be the Holy Spirit speaking to our conscience. A worship song that has found its way into our heart, maybe a scripture that stays with us here. We have to lean in and be intentional to hear it. Now, you'll eventually be shaped by the loudest voice in your life, the voice you listen to the most. So what is the loudest voice in your life? It's maybe friends, family, television, work, maybe social media. I can tell you that if we spent a day together, you would be able to tell what is the loudest voice in my life, and I'll be able to tell what the loudest voice in your life. So let me share with you, if your day begins this way, you wake up, and your arm reaches over, and you get your cell phone. And you open it up, and you're looking, and you're checking messages, because maybe some important things have happened overnight, and you're kind of checking that first thing in the morning. And of course of the day, every time you get a quiet moment, you reach in your pocket, and you pull that phone out. Again, you're checking on social media, just trying to see what's going on in the world, what's going on with every one of your friends. Don't try to find me on Facebook. I'm sorry, I'm not there. And I spend no time on social media. I have to choose where I spend my time. That's not where I'm spending my time. But again, at the end of the night, just as you're going to bed, hey, you got to check just to make sure something hasn't happened in the last 3 minutes since you last checked that phone. All right, I think we've identified the loudest voice in the life, okay? It's also said that the average person spends 5 hours watching television every day, all right? Now, that is a loud voice in somebody's life, all right? But if we want to know the Lord better, we need to make his voice the loudest voice in our lives. So we're told 6 times in the Gospels and 8 times in the book of Revelations that he who has ears, let him hear. In Psalm 40, verse 6, David says, my ears you have opened. And this is what Pastor was talking about a little bit last week, where we really are going to be intentional about hearing the Lord. It's interesting, Sue and I have been married for 28 years, and she can tell when I'm listening and when I'm not, okay? And by the way, I might have nothing going on. I'm just not paying attention. And that's because genuine listening is an act of submission. You need to submit. You need, when you listen, you really have to pay attention and submit. And to really listen, we need to seek solitude, seek silence, and ruthlessly eliminate distractions. We need to turn some voices down or eliminate them altogether. For me, turning down the voice of the television in my life has helped me hear the Lord's voice louder. Now, here's an unusual discovery. Since I've read Mark Bradison's book, I'm intentionally beginning to turn down other voices in my life so I can hear the Lord better. Guess who else I'm hearing better, right? I'm beginning to hear Sue better. Now, we've been married 28 years, so it's only taken me 28 years to discover this, but I think I'm beginning to discover what my Lord or what my wife is saying when she wants to have an intimate relationship. I just haven't been listening for 28 years, and Sue, I'm dedicated from going forward here. As I quiet these other voices in my life, I'll be listening a little better, and I will have that relationship. The Lord wants to have that kind of intimate relationship with us, and so does my wife. All right, so quiet the voices that don't matter, and then the voices that do matter will come to you. All right? So what voices do you need to turn down or eliminate altogether to hear the Lord better? Okay, so for me, there are certain places and postures where I hear the Lord the best, okay? So we have a spare bedroom, and there is a place there that is just dedicated to hear from the Lord. And it's surrounded with my Bible and my books and my things that are there. But it's a place where you can be quiet. There are no distractions. There's nothing going on there. There's no television. It's just a room where I can go and be with the Lord. For Sue, our new room is a place where she loves to spend time with the Lord. And over the last couple of weeks, when the weather's gotten better, Sue was going all the way into the back behind our backyard, where the Lord has blessed us with a beautiful backyard. And she's just back there with the Lord and finding that to be a very special time. I love the vacation in Carmel, California. We haven't been there in a while. We need to go back soon. But it's a place that I just get close to the Lord because of the beauty of nature in that place. So my question for you is, have you found that place in your life? Chances are that our lives are so noisy and we are so busy that we either do not have a quiet spot, or if we have one, we don't have time to spend there. In Psalm 46:10, we're told, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Do you hear that command from God? Be still and know that I am God. So why do we have such a challenging time being still? And notice that the reason we're still, all right, is not just to be still. It's to get to know God, to know him better, all right? And so Mark Batterson's got an interesting equation in his book, Whispers. He says a change of pace plus a change of place will give you a change in perspective. And to be frank, at the end of the first quarter of this year, I needed a change of perspective. Sue and I, through the first quarter, we both had the flu twice. We had 8 days with no power in March when we had all those storms. And to be frank, by the time it got to the end of March, I was pretty much done. All right, and then the Lord blessed us with a 70-degree day. And I don't know if you all remember that day, but that was a day that I just went outside. I changed my place, and I just quietly got before the Lord for the day. And it was a day of refreshing, okay? Do you ever need a day like that where you just have a day of refreshing? I don't have to tell you what. It doesn't even need to be a whole day. It can be a half hour. It could be 10 minutes. But sometimes we need to have that time of refreshing of being with the Lord. So I want to note that God can speak to us today just as he did in the Old Testament. And if we want to hear the voice of God, we need to slow down and find a quiet place where we spend undistracted time with him. And just as he did with Elijah, God can show up anywhere, anytime, and anyhow. After all, he is God. But if we want to hear from God on a regular basis, if we just want to make that a part of our life, we need to be intentional about spending time with him. Now, I know right now, by the way, I am speaking to a bunch of New Yorkers, all right? And solitude and silence in the course of our day is something that many of us aren't experiencing. But if we get intentional about this, this is something we can make a part of our lives. All right, so the Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so is the word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. So the Lord, when he speaks to us, he's talking about our purpose, about what we need to be doing going forward. All right. And if I'm in a place of solitude and stillness and I'm hearing from him and I'm hearing that purpose, all right, I will know how to move forward in life. All right. But if I'm too busy and not hearing from the Lord, he may be speaking to me and I'm just not receiving. All right. I mean, has it ever happened to you? I mean, it happens to me with Sue. She's talking to me and she's transmitting. I am not receiving. My Uncle Neil, he talks about our family and my brothers and sisters. We get together and he says, you're all transmitters, no receivers. Okay? And he is so right about that. All right. So John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement and he had a whispering spot. And in 1940, Dr. Edwin Orr took a group of Wheaton College students to England, and they went to John Wesley's home, which is a Methodist museum now. And there's a place in a second floor bedroom where there are two impressions where it is believed that John Wesley regularly met with the Lord in prayer. And so at the end of the tour, everybody was leaving and they're all getting on the bus, but Dr. Orr noticed that one of the students was missing. So he went back into the house and up to the second floor, and he walked into that bedroom, and here was Billy Graham kneeling in those two impressions. And he was praying, oh, Lord, do it again. And the Lord did it again through the life of Billy Graham. So have you ever watched a movie and had a scene just touch your heart? Sue and I are big Hallmark fans. It drives Pastor crazy that I'm a Hallmark fan, even more than a football fan, it's true. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I have to watch is how much Hallmark I watch. But there's a movie called Love Comes Softly, which, interestingly enough, played yesterday morning, which is amazing, and I did watch it again for the 100th time. But there's a scene in this movie. I'm kind of watching the movie, and then there's this minute and a half scene that occurs there, and it just stopped me in my tracks. This happens in books for me. It happens in movies, and I just want to share this scene with you here.
I'll be back.
Okay, Paul. I think a walk will do me good as well.
It? Okay, there's a beautiful moment where she goes out and he is in his whispering spot and she sees that, and it just touched my heart. Now, when Sue saw the scene, his dog is sitting right next to him, so Sue got the desire for a dog, which is good. I got the desire to have a whispering spot when I saw this scene. It's just beautiful. He's sitting outside. There's a beautiful river running through there, and he is singing one of my favorite hymns. It's a place to worship the Lord. It's a place to speak to the Lord. But most importantly, it's a place to hear from the Lord. And it put a hunger in my heart to have just such a place. And I want that for everybody here today. So Moses found that he needed to get away from the people to meet with the Lord as well. And in Exodus 33, beginning in verse 7 to verse 11, we're told, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. And anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went to the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped at the entrance of the tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So we see here, you can imagine how busy Moses was dealing with all of the issues of the Israelites at this time. And every once in a while, he just needed to get that tent and leave the camp and pitch that tent outside the camp And he is a Joshua would spend time with the Lord, where the Lord would meet them face to face. How beautiful a time that was. And then Moses would go back to the camp, but notice that Joshua stayed in the tent. And did you ever wonder why Joshua was the person who was chosen to follow Moses in Moses' footsteps? Kind of a big thing following Moses. But I think one of the reasons was is that Joshua had a hunger for being with the Lord and knowing the Lord. And that is exactly what we see here in these verses. And I want that for us. I want that same desire to be with the Lord and to hear the Lord for each of us as we go forward. So when it comes to spending time with the Father, of course, Jesus is our great model. And I'd like to share just a few of the events in our Lord's life that show when it's a good time to separate ourselves and be with the Lord. Now, the Lord, of course, was always surrounded with crowds and his disciples, and it was a very busy time. And we see in Luke, which is the third gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke chapter 4, verse 40 to 42, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. And in Luke 5:16, we see after another busy day of ministry that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So you can imagine when our Lord Jesus walked into a town, all right, the word had gotten out. He's healing people. And if I'm sick, I'm going to see him. If I need to be delivered, I'm going to see him. And by the way, the whole rest of the town comes as well because they want to see what's going on. So Jesus is healing, he's teaching, and of course at the end of the day, he's just exhausted, right? And what is his response to that? He goes off and he spends time with the Father, that time of refreshing in the evening and in the morning. And it's for us, as we're so busy, and hey, we live in New York, right? Most of us are working 10-hour days, commuting a couple hours a day. It's absolutely exhausting. That is a perfect time to spend time to be with the Lord, to be refreshed. So during busy times, it's a really good time to spend with the Lord. In Luke 6, verses 12 through 16, one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. So Jesus has a very important decision to make. He's surrounded by these disciples, and he's got to choose 12 of them to be his apostles going forward. And what does he do? He spends the night before that decision in prayer and being before the Father and letting the Father guide him in that decision. Now, I want to let you know that I've got a very important decision coming up. I'm about to end a 40-plus year publishing career, and I want to do it in the right way, and I want to do it at the right time, and there are plenty of complexities that are involved in that. So this is a perfect time for me to go and be before the Lord and let him guide my path here as I go forward. So how about you? Do you have any big decisions coming up? Maybe thinking about going back to school or changing a job, maybe a major financial decision that you have pending at this point. What a great time to spend time with the Lord. And then in Jesus' last week, before he was crucified, we see in Luke 21, 37 to 38, each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. The Mount of Olives was a whispering place for Jesus in the last week before he was crucified. And on the night that he was betrayed, he was arrested on the Mount of Olives. He was there praying, being before the Lord. And we can see the intensity of his prayer in that night. So at the most important points in our lives, we need a whispering place, all right? And so do you have any major changes coming up in your life? What a great time to spend some time with the Lord and just help him, have him direct your path as you go forward. So chronic noise and busyness. Okay, I'm talking to New Yorkers here right now. Chronic noise and busyness are two of the greatest impediments to our spiritual growth. And here's what I know for sure. Our lives are too loud and our schedules are too busy. And that's how we forget that God is God. We need to tune some things out so we can tune in the voice of God. Simply put, God speaks loudest when we our quietest. If you have some notepaper, you just may want to write that down. God speaks loudest when we are quietest. Now, it's interesting. Think back over your past week and how many quiet moments that you had. We're going to talk a little bit about four very specific things we can do to kind of to get ourselves planted in this area and headed in the right direction. And just think about your last week and what there's like, and then I'm going to talk to you about what your weeks are going to look like here a little bit going forward. So there are four things that you can do to hear God's voice better. And when you arrive today, again, you got some notepaper, so a good place to take some notes here. So number one, find your whispering spot. All right, so this is important. All right, so it may be inside your home. It might be outside. All right, for Pastor Jeremy with three lovely, energetic sons, all right, it's not always in the home. Matter of fact, lately he has shared with me that he's been enjoying some of the paths here in Westchester County. He's going out. He's going for walks. It's just been a real time of refreshing for him. Before that, he had discovered the church two blocks away, St. Gregory's Church, from his home. And he has shared with all of us the times that he's spent with the Lord there and how the Lord met him during key points in his life. All right? It's interesting that when you find that whispering spot, so I'll give you an example. You say, oh, my house is just too busy. I can't find a place. So let's go back to John Wesley. John Wesley's mom had 17 children. Okay? 17 children. And when she was going to be with the Lord, she would take the shawl and she would put it over her head. And the kids would know that that's when she was being with the Lord. And amazingly, they would quiet down and they would give her that time. Is it any wonder that we get from that mother, John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement where tens of thousands of people came to the Lord, and Charles Wesley, his brother, who has written some of the greatest hymns of our faith? All right. So even, you know, with 17 children, she found the time to do that. I was telling my dad yesterday, as I was preparing for this message, I was telling Dad, I said, you know, one of my oldest memories that I have is of him kneeling at his bed at night. This is when it was just Cindy and I, so I must have been 2 or 3 years old. And I just remember my dad there praying. And when I go home now to see my dad, like clockwork, my dad goes up to my old room. He's still living in the same five-bedroom house that he and I bought together 61 years ago. We bought that house without my mom seeing it. Not recommended, by the way. But he goes to that room, which was my former bedroom, and he's got his place where he meets with the Lord. And I have to tell you, there is no interrupting him. When it's time for him to be with the Lord, he will stop his conversation right in, and he goes right up to that room, and he spends time with the Lord. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. So I have a father that prayed for me when I was one. I have a father that's still praying for me. He's 88. I'm 63. He's still praying for me. All right? What a blessing that is. All right? So sometimes, by the way, we find whispering spots, and sometimes they find us. All right? So tough spots can sometimes turn into a whispering spot. So have you ever had a moment where you're in a tough place and you said to the Lord, help? Okay, that place just became a whispering spot. Okay, so guess what? It doesn't need to be one place in your life that's a whispering spot. It can be wherever you are, wherever you sense the Lord's presence. All right? Now let me just share with you kind of how to find that whispering spot. First of all, it needs to be an undistracted place. Okay, so it's not a good place where the TV and music and all kinds of things are going on there. It should be an undistracted place. But it also should be a place where you sense the Lord's presence. By the way, if you can't sense it, then start in a place, and boy, the Lord's presence will definitely come there. All right, because he so much desires to have this kind of relationship with us. So find your place. By the way, I think the Holy Spirit's probably prompting many of you to think about what that space is right now. Second, be intentional about taking undistracted time with the Father. All right, so I work in business, and there are two things you need to have a meeting. Okay, one of the things you need to have a meeting is a location. The second thing you need is a time. So why would it be any different with the Lord? All right, let's set a place and a time to meet with the Lord. So for me, the best time to meet with the Lord is first thing in the morning. I am a morning person. 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, I'm up, I'm ready to go. And I've got, you know, my best energy of the day at that moment, all right? And it's undistracted time. I can spend time with the Lord. I also find during my lunchtime in my office, I get about 15 minutes of time. It's just a blessing that's quiet. And I just take that time to kind of refresh myself in the course of the day. And then at the very end of the day, you get a choice. You can spend your time before you go to sleep watching the nightly news or the latest criminal show. But I recommend take 15 minutes, take 20 minutes, and spend it with the Lord. And watch, after a few days, what happens to your sleep at night. It's interesting, the Lord tells us that in these last days, we're going to be dreaming dreams and seeing visions. I think one of the things that will help that happen is if the last thing we do before we go to sleep is we spend time with Him and we invite Him into our dreams and into our life that night. All right? So it's interesting. During the course of the day, even though we live in New York, we all have moments of silence. All right? And the question is, how do we use those moments of silence? All right, so I want to let you know that right now, as I kind of watch, we can fill those moments of silence with lots of different things. First of all, we always try to fill silent moments. And the biggest one that I see these days is people reaching into their pocket and pulling out the phone because, again, they might have gotten a message. Or certainly there's a friend that I need to be following on Facebook this moment. All right. And so or we go to the computer and we get on the internet and we kind of see what the latest sports score was or whatever. We fill those silent moments with things. All right. The question is, are those things more important than hearing from the Lord? And here's a challenge for this week. All right. For this week, the next time you get that silent moment, all right, by the way, it might be just driving to work and turning off the news station or whatever and just having a quiet moment and just say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. All right, just have a quiet moment with the Lord. Do that a couple times this week. Don't do it every time. By the way, I'm not asking you to be crazy, okay? I'm not asking you got to spend 92 hours with the Lord every single day, all right? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I want to let you know that if you begin spending 10, 15, 20 minutes, this will become a hunger. This is a desire the Lord will build in your heart because that intimate relationship with the Lord is everything. It's everything to us. It's everything to the Lord. So He will build that desire and that hunger in you. All right? So find your place. Be intentional about setting a time to be with Him. And then during the course of the day, as you get some silent moments, just spend a moment with the Lord. Okay? It's a beautiful thing. Third, get around people who hear the voice of God. Somebody once told me that you become like the people you hang around. Okay? And so that if you're a parent and your kids are hanging around lots of other really terrific kids, wonderful. That's a great thing. But let me just share with you that for me, I want to hang around people who hear the voice of God. And there are two reasons that I want to do that. All right. First of all, sometimes people who hear from God will get a word for me. It's a selfish reason, I understand. But the Lord will speak to them to give a word to me. All right. That's the communication I want. God, through godly people, to me. Pastor mentioned last week, you want to get in trouble? Let people who are not godly, who are not hearing the voice of God, speak into your life, all right? And that can turn into quite a mess. But people who hear the voice of God speaking into my life, I want that, okay? I need that, all right? Secondly, there are times when I hear the voice of God, but I'm not sure, all right? And a friend who hears the voice of God is a perfect person to go to with that and say, hey, I believe the Lord just said this to me. Could you just test that for me and tell me whether that sounds like the Lord? And they might immediately, because they know the Lord's voice, they might either say, that's the Lord. That absolutely sounds like the Lord. Or they may say, not. Or they may say, let me go test that a little bit. Let me go to the Lord and just see if that was from Him or not. All right? So friends who hear from the Lord, boy, are they valuable. All right? By the way, not only are they valuable in your life, but when you start hearing from the Lord, you're going to have that same value to others. And you can picture here at Redemption, I want a church full of people who hear from the Lord. And we're sharing what the Lord is saying with each other, all right, in love. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we're going to do. And then lastly, number four, we want to concentrate our ear to the Lord Jesus Christ and make His voice the loudest voice in our lives. All right, and this is something we need to be intentional about. We need to turn a voice down in order to get this. So for me, turning the television down, it has helped. That was a place, that was a voice in my life that I just, there was no value to it hardly at all. Just turn it off and you'll be surprised at kind of what happens then when you begin to turn those voices down, all right? But we need to consecrate our ear to the Lord. Lord, my ears are yours, all right? And boy, what the Lord is going to do when we do that and make His voice the loudest in our life. Now, listen, let me share with you. The Lord's voice wasn't even close to the loudest voice in my life when I picked up Mark Batterson's book, okay? Not even close. And every once in a while I read a book and it's convicting. It says, wow, you know what? You you need to change. And that's what happened to me. So if you're sitting there right now saying, no, the Lord's voice, let's see, is that the loudest voice in my life? Well, no, it's probably like number five on the list at this point here. Hey, that's not unusual. That's why this message is coming forward today. By the way, I'm sure it has nothing to do with the Lord, or maybe not, I don't know. But in theater number four, the name of the movie tonight or today is called Quiet Place. Amazing. It's an amazing thing. So Mark and Patty Verkler, who actually come from Pastor and Amy's home church up in Buffalo and did a lot of the teaching there, they wrote in their book, How to Hear God's Voice, that the main purpose for learning to hear God's voice is so that I might really know him, his heart, his joys, his desires, his hurts, his character, his will. And I don't know if any of you remember when you would first date. And boy, those first dates, your questions, you get answers, and you'd lean in. You're getting to know somebody in a more intimate way. All right, that's the relationship the Lord wants to have with us. And he wants us to know him in that way. And his heart is so desires to have that kind of relationship with us. And I want each of us to have that as we go forward. So let's go to war against all the noise and busyness in our lives. All right, and let's find that place where we can hear God's voice loudest and longest so that we may really know him. Please stand and we'll pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is your desire to have an intimate relationship with us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus died to restore that relationship. He gave it all, Lord, so that we could have this relationship. Help us, Lord, help our hearts to burn in desire to know you better, Lord. Help us to find those moments of solitude and stillness where we can just be before you. Help us to take the voices in our life that don't belong there, Lord. Just help us to diminish those or to take them away altogether so, Lord, that you may speak to us. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time together. And we thank you that you bless us each and every day. In Jesus' beautiful and wonderful name, amen. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.